Every best gift and perfect gift is from above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My mother used to always joke and poke fun at me in saying that Mother's Day must have clearly been scheduled by men. And what she meant by that was where it took place always seemed to have something else going on that day. It never seemed to actually be a truly free day. For myself, growing up, I always had a baseball game on that day. And she would never miss those games. And she would always be there. And while she joked about it at the time, she later would admit that she would never miss that opportunity to go there. Why? Why would that be? It's certainly not for the game itself, and it's certainly not because there's any virtue in spending your day, you know, baking out in the hot sun or something like that. But rather, it was because of the great joy that she felt at watching her son do something and excel at something that he's worked so hard at. As foolish as a game would be, she knew that I worked hard at it, and she was proud, in a good way, of me for being there. And knowledge of that, knowledge of her pride and her happiness in seeing me, was the best reward that I could ever receive for doing so. As children, we all seek the approval and beaming pride of our own mothers. It's one of the most important things for us in our childhood to gain. It's one of the most important things to encourage us to do good in the future. It's one of those things that we always are looking for as children. And it doesn't go away as we get older either. We're always yearning for that approval from the one in our family whom we probably hold most dearly to us. Whether it's the first time we do something small like riding a bike, or the pride of a mother seeing one of her children graduate from school, as one of our fine lads will find out today from the parish, or the pride of seeing us succeed in our adult lives, in our careers, and achieving the goals that we've set aside for ourselves. That approval of mom always matters to us more than anybody else. Our two young ladies, Philomena and Gianna, your moms are very proud of you too, because you have worked very hard to achieve a goal, and you've done it. You have studied your catechism, you've passed your test, and now they will get to see you do many things for the first time. They've seen you go to make your first confession. They now have seen you today take part in the beautiful ceremony of crowning Our Lady. Next weekend, they'll see you be confirmed by the bishop. And lastly, to receive our Lord for the very first time in a good holy communion. And that pride of a mother, of your own moms, will make you very happy. However, what's different about that accomplishment from anything else in your life is that you don't just have the joy of your own mother, but also all of heaven is so joyful and so happy about what is going to and has had happened for you. Our Lord is so happy because you will be able to receive the sacraments that he longs to give to all of us. And his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, now is so happy because she not only shares in the joy of her son about the sacraments, but she now stands ready to shower on you as many graces as you need, as many graces as you want, to be able to day by day grow closer and closer to her son, closer and closer to heaven. And that point is a good reminder for all of us. as much as the approval of our parents, as much as the approval of our peers means to us in our lives, the approval of heaven is infinitely more important. The joy and celebration we have of a child's first sacraments fades after it is completed. The party ends, the things are cleaned up, and then it seems that every sacrament we go to after that is constantly just almost, I don't want to say habitual, but is expected of us. But in heaven, that joy never fades. That rejoicing at someone making a good reception of either the sacrament of penance or the sacrament of Holy Communion never goes away in the heavenly courts. Every time there is a rejoicing there to see that good reception of the sacraments. And whenever we do so, we receive countless amounts of graces that we should never ever take for granted. Each time, it is the greatest treasure of heaven coming down on us. Each time, we are allowed to take as much as we desire in that those means to save our souls. And so it's for that reason that we try to come as often as we can, to confess as regularly as we can, to receive communion at as many opportunities as possible. And every day, we have the opportunity, regardless of whether we're able to make it to Mass or not, to be rewarded by graces from Our Lady. She is the mediatrix of all graces. And it's that title that I want to talk to you a little bit about today. Why does Our Lady have this title of mediatrix of all graces? And what is the significance of it? Mary is the mediatrix of all graces because, one, it was through her that the source of all graces came to earth in the first place. She is that vessel that brought Christ to earth. Christ is that founding point of grace. Graces are a supernatural thing. They are something that truly belongs to heaven. They are something that are greater than any creature in the world. So therefore, the creator of grace can only be that which is superior to grace, that of God himself. And Christ, our Lord, God himself, became man through the means of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And because she was that first bringing of grace to the world, as that vessel of bearing Christ, she now is known by, as we commemorate in the Litany of Loreto that was said before Mass, as the Mother of Divine Grace. She's not the Mother of Christ alone, but the Mother of Grace itself. And because of that, she is entrusted with those things. She was entrusted with God, she's entrusted with His graces. Secondly, she is the mediatrix of all graces because she is the sharer in the work of redemption, the very source of why those graces came to earth, the means of saving mankind by being his death on the cross. Everything our Lord suffered in his passion, every wound, every derision, every spit, every blow that hit him, suffered by Our Lady internally, all the things that he suffered externally. And because she suffered the passion alongside of Christ, she is a sharer in that redemption of mankind with Christ. And we can only save our souls by using grace, by putting those into practice in our lives. Thirdly, the reason why she is the mediatrix of all graces is because we have a need of a mediator. We need somebody between us and God to receive grace. Grace is a supernatural aid. And we cannot perform supernatural actions without a supernatural aid. And we can't come to something higher to ourselves and expect to be there to receive it worthily without having something in between us. Coming straight from God, none of us deserve that. But Our Lady is one of us, but she is the perfect model of each and every one of us. She is the perfect example of us and the most beloved of Christ himself. And so as the such, she is the chosen mediator to give out those graces. She is the one that is that buffer between us, lest we be overwhelmed by the magnitude of what we are actually receiving, because it is directly from the hand of God. We need a mediator of grace, and that mediator is chosen by Christ himself, his mother. Why is it significant that Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces? We know by having her listed as our mediatrix, we know exactly where to turn. That is the most important aspect of that. Our Lord has revealed to us the source, the keeper of the graces we need to save our souls. And it's upon her that we ask for them. So in knowing where to find them, we are able to go and access them. We also know she is our perfect mother in heaven, our heavenly mother. And we can see in our own lives that our mothers care for us, our earthly mothers. Each and every one of us has a mother who cares for us, wants good things to come to us, would help us if we need help to achieve those good things, would do what they can to express that love to us, to help us to get there. That our mothers are the ones that have taught us as children how to say our prayers and how to act in a virtuous way and how to act in a moral way. And so, as we know, our own mothers, who are though they try, aren't always perfect, care and love us in these ways. We know our Heavenly Mother, who is even better than any of us can ever claim to be, because she is perfect. She is sinless in heaven. She would care for us perfectly no matter what. And she would be so generous to us with the graces given to her. Christ has given her the keys to the treasury of heaven, and she is at liberty to do whatever she desires with them. Our Lady is most liberal in her giving of grace to us. She holds nothing back. We ask for a certain amount of graces to fight the temptations we need. She gives us an overabundance of that. All she asks for in return is that we try to use them well and that we come to her and ask them of her. Our side of the bargain is simple. Our side of that deal is very easy. We can take as much as we want from the storage of grace in heaven. All we have to do is use them and ask for them. To try to always maintain ourselves in that state of sanctifying grace, to try to always remain friends with her Son, Christ our Lord, and to use those graces well and ask for them. Throughout the scriptures, we see a constant theme in the life of Our Lady. She's always there, but in the background. Very little of what she has said is written down in the scriptures. Very little of her actions are placed there by the holy writers for us. But she's always present. And this is on purpose. Our Lady wants it that way. Our Lady desires for the focus to not be upon herself, but upon her Son, Christ our Lord. It's that model of humility that we hold dear to ourselves. And because she does it so well, and because she was always the most close to our Lord, he in return wants us to praise her for all of her virtues that she has, which is why we have an entire month dedicated to her, which is why we have a litany listing out the number of those virtues of her, which is why we come in with all the solemnity that we can to crown her statue with flowers, which is why we go to her daily for those graces we need. She never sought the acknowledgement in her own life, but Christ asks us to give it to her now. And in many ways, our own mothers are the same. Oftentimes, they fade into the background. Oftentimes, they take a little step back to let their own children or their own husband or those, whoever it may be the face of that family. But they're always there and they're so integral to the family. And as good children, we recognize that today on Mother's Day. That in itself is imitation of Our Lady and the virtues that she had in her life. And we are thankful for everything that they have done for us in our lives. And we are reminded that the most important thing for us is making all of our mothers proud, both those in life and Our Lady in heaven. Because if we please Mary, and we are, and she is joyful at the sight of us, and we do all the things that we know that is best imitation of her, and the best in fulfilling our duties, and the best in praising her Son and through her, and we try to live our lives in a way that is most pleasing to Our Lady, then she doesn't stop mediating for us just in the way of graces, but she will also stand at our side upon our last judgment day. And it'll be her requesting our entrance into heaven. And as we've seen by him giving the storage key to the graces in this life, our Lord will never refuse Our Lady anything, especially something as important as the salvation of our souls. And it's by her intercession that we will find ourselves in heavenly bliss. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.